Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
So I don't know if we had pirates, but we for sure had a hell of a witching hour this weekend. I don't know how those two pair together, but it worked a lot better in my brain. There
They're
we go.
Supernatural.
I was going to say we had witches and then parlay that into the witching hour, but that felt a little forced. And so here we are right now. Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Jhené Egwumike. Because, Jhené, I know you're familiar with this. Shout out to our I'm going to call him a friend of the program. I don't know if we've had him on yet, but Scott Hansen and the NFL Red Zone this weekend that had their 200th show.
Oh, wow.
Which is impressive. And it snaps up for Scott and company there. But, Jhené, they've made a deal, obviously, out of the witching hour, the end of the 1 o'clock games, that window towards the end when things start to go wild. How's this for the witching hour this weekend? 3:55 Eastern, the Bears were up 30-27 on the Lions and had a sack fumble that the Lions recovered at that point, courtesy of Mitchell Trubisky. Their win probability entering that point was at 80%. 4:04 Eastern, just 9 minutes later, the Vikings were up 24-16 on the Jags, second and goal, James Robinson, touchdown, two-point conversion to send that game to overtime. 1 minute later at 4:05 Eastern, the Saints are up 21-16 in the Falcons. The Falcons have a 4th-and-9 incompletion to Julio Jones, where they could have won that game. 3 minutes later, 4:08, the Colts up 26-20 on the Texans. Deshaun Watson fumbles a snap. They lose that game on the 2-yard line, getting ready to score. And then 4:09, we finish it off, Jhené. J-E-T-S, tank, tank, tank.
Wait, I got it.
3rd-and-10 for the Raiders. They lose that game on the Henry
Sammy
Ruggs bomb.
Sammy and the Jets. Sammy. Okay.
Well, maybe not for much longer at this point, based on where they're going,
Jhené.
Because, well, we know how that game was set up, Jhené. It was that weird battle down the stretch, and as someone who was a former number one overall pick, you can appreciate this. Trevor Lawrence is probably at home watching NFL Sunday football and having to deal with the weird reality that Jaguars fans and Jets fans were all sitting there rooting against their teams because of him.
You know what's funny? In my situation, I didn't really care where I was going to go. I end up going. So, I'm born and raised in Houston, Texas. Then I go to school for 4 years in California, North Park, Stanford. And then I was like, I don't care where I'm going. I just want to play. I want the rock. I want to prove myself. And I assume that's exactly how Trevor Lawrence feels. Self-abhorrence for Lawrence, win never for Trevor. But football is very different than basketball because basketball, I can protect myself on the court. On football, you need that protection. And so I can see why he could be a little bit like, I don't know about this, boss. But still, I mean, still a top-tier talent. But it's just funny to see how everyone's fighting over you. But and then, like, in the athlete's frame of, yeah, he'll be all right. He'll be good either way. He'll be good.
He will be good either way because, Jhené, this is the interesting part of what's going on with the New York Jets right now is they're sitting here hoping they lose out here. They just fired Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, for basically going engage eight on the final play of the game and then getting burned by the Las Vegas Raiders badly on that one to maintain that spot. And it lost all those conspiracy theories, everything involved in all of that. But it ultimately ended with Greg Williams losing his job because of the decision made on that play. And our ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears said, yeah, no, that's about what you earned based on what you did.
Put 7 players back. Tell those guys, keep everything in front of you and make a tackle and we'll get out of this game with the win. Especially on the previous play, Aguilar got behind the defense
as
well.
Yes, he did.
So at what point does coaching set in to your defense coordinator and say, hey, we just had an issue on the previous play with a player getting behind our defense with the potential of scoring a touchdown if Derek Carr hits the pass. And then the next play, you come and run zero pressure and leave a corner one-on-one with the fastest man on this side of God's green earth with Derek Carr, who has shown the ability to throw the deep ball at a high level all season long. Greg Williams is where he's supposed to be after a call like that at home. And going to be looking for another job.
And, Jhené, that is not because Greg Williams did this on purpose for any sort of malicious reasons towards Adam Gase, for any sort of reasons because he was told by the front office, or any other weird conspiracy that you can concoct. Greg Williams had this happen because he's Greg Williams, and this is how he lives.
And this is exactly why we ask you. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Tweet us at Chanae, at Mike Golic Jr. Tell us what you think the biggest sport, the worst sports conspiracy theories, because there are people here that really think that this is what those players that worked so hard and desperately wanted to win, that they actually cooked this up, which to me, I mean, I can understand how people would make that reach because it's the Jets, but at the same time, I wouldn't want that self-agony on myself losing in that fashion. And I feel like everyone was super excited. Like, I guess the athletes in us, or even if you're not a Jets fan, we're all super excited. And obviously, like, I think my number one, we talked a little bit earlier about MJ and like how he got that pizza that made him sick and then he had to go and have the flu game. For me, I think it was the Knicks and what do they call it? The frozen envelope?
The frozen envelope, yeah.
Now that's another question. Envelope? What's the proper pronunciation? Because I say envelope.
I say everything both ways. Aunt, envelope, envelope.
Anarchist.
It doesn't matter. I say it just however the situation deems I need to say it.
Yeah. Anarchist in your fullest form. So that's like your truest form there. But yeah, I think the frozen envelope to me is really hilarious because I was like, man, that is really genius. You have, like, you would never know besides if like the bowl like fogged up a little bit. But I do think that's one of my favorite ones. You know, we just learned about the other one on The Last Dance. So everyone tell us your the worst sports conspiracy theory on, the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed.
At Chanae, at Mike Golic Jr., Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And it's time for our Monday night kickoff, Monday night football kickoff brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And Chanae, I think it's the reason you get people reaching so hard for things like this is because going 0-for is really hard. Like, it takes a lot to lose every game. You have to be the perfect combination of bad, mismanaged, poorly coached players, you know, in situations, the opt-outs.
Not lucky at all.
It all has to come together famously. On the other side of that, going into Monday night tonight, we mentioned we've got the Monday Night Football doubleheader, and you need just as many things to go your way to be a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is the only undefeated in the NFL currently, putting that on the line. I believe kickoff just happened not too long ago against the Washington football team. And Chanae, I feel like that's why we look at these situations and we're so stunned that the Jets can keep losing, much in the same way that we all look at the situation in Pittsburgh, and I know I don't. You don't expect them to go undefeated and finish the regular season because they're not a team that is that dominant to be able to pull off something that is this hard.
Yeah, exactly. In the middle of a pandemic, like out of all those type of situations. And that's why I say you have to really celebrate these teams that are succeeding, like the Chiefs, like the Lakers just won a championship. And then now looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, because what do they do? I said it, I think, a couple days ago. In week 6, you lose Devin Bush. Then now you have Dupree that's out. And like as the season goes on, things only get harder for you. So for them to still be able to find ways to win, impressive, especially with their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who is aging, but like not saying his game is stepping back, but like they're actually are honest about his game and sort of create packages where he doesn't have to do it all and make all those huge reads. So again, the Steelers should be commended as much as the Jets. Well, should be reprimanded
in very different ways to be commended.
Reprimanded and commended. Commended, you tried. We saw it. We saw it there. It's possible. We saw the fight. Keep trying. Actually, don't, because we want you guys to get Trevor Lawrence because y'all deserve it. The state of New York deserves it.
They deserve something at this point. And like Marcus Spears said,
for perseverance,
Greg Williams got what he had earned up until this point. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you mentioned Ben Roethlisberger. It becomes so interesting with him because, like you said, we've acknowledged his limitations this year, the way that passing game has shortened and shortened and the amount of air yards have shortened and shortened as he's gone along. He's coming off injury. He's an old quarterback. Like, all of it makes sense. And it's the exact reason why I saw very frustrated Steelers fans last night on Twitter watching Kansas City go out there and I think score the second fewest points they've ever scored with Patrick Mahomes at the helm against a team in Denver that they should have thoroughly outclassed in that division. And they wonder why Kansas City gets so much more respect. It's because you've got a quarterback that when he needs to, in about 30 seconds, can go down and score at will with the fastest wide receiver in the NFL. And Pittsburgh, the styles make fights, and theirs is different enough to get the job done in a lot of ways that are super commendable. But ultimately, when you're looking for the break in case of emergency, Kansas City's got one, and we're not sure Pittsburgh does in that same way. And so that becomes the difficult part of this to process. That's a conversation we can have a lot more of coming up in the future. But coming up next, we mentioned a Monday Night Football doubleheader. Let's look to the second half of that. Bills and Cardinals playing in some of the most unique circumstances we've seen even in 2020, which is saying a lot. We'll check in with someone there next. It's Chanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Confusing is the situation in the desert right now? Well, going into break in the last segment, I said the Bills are playing the Arizona Cardinals tonight in the back half of Monday Night Football doubleheader, And that's not true. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agumake with you. And that is not true because the Buffalo Bills are playing the San Francisco 49ers. This is technically a home game for the San Francisco 49ers in the Cardinal Stadium. And
so technically it is true.
So technically it is true, just for very different reasons in this situation. It's time for our Monday Night Football kickoff brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And for more on why that is the case now, we're delighted to talk to our ESPN reporter, Lisa Salters, who's out there on this. And Lisa, we appreciate the time and insight. How confusing has this process been for everyone involved as the San Francisco 49ers try and make this work?
You guys are not alone. I mean, it's been confusing for me. I've been in the building all afternoon. And as I'm walking around, going down to my live shot to the bathroom, wherever, I'm seeing all these Cardinals pictures on the walls, and I see one of Larry Fitzgerald making this great catch, and I thought, how did this whole week go by and I didn't talk to Larry about the game? That seems so weird. And then I remembered, because the Cardinals aren't playing. I've been talking to the 49ers all week. Okay, I just keep forgetting that it's not the Cardinals. It's the 49ers, but, the 49ers, someone asked me earlier, how are they settling in? Well, they really don't have a choice because they've got to settle in. All they have is the practice field and their hotel rooms. Kyle Shanahan was telling us that players, because they are so concerned about COVID and them potentially leaving their rooms and going out to do things here in the Glendale area where things are wide open, restaurants are open, the movie theaters are open, Dave and Buster's, he said, right across the parking lot is open. They're so concerned that they are prohibiting players really from going anywhere. They're not allowed to hang out with each other. They can't have dinner together. They can't have a card game together. They don't have position meetings together. Everything is via Zoom. So they leave, they go to practice. That's the only time they can be face-to-face. They do that, and then they go back to their room. So it's not a matter of, how are they doing? They don't have a choice. They have to settle in. This is the way it's going to be for them for the next several weeks.
Here with Lisa Salters, ESPN reporter extraordinaire on the Bills and 49ers tonight, here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. You can watch us right now. Now, I feel like it's funny. You were talking about like a deja vu. What is it like? It was all a dream. Don't we wish 2020 was all a dream? But we're living this day to day. And speaking of day to day lives, how have the day to day lives, sort of changed as they evolve, especially with this moving situation, long term, going from California to Arizona? What's the long term impact on their season for this?
Well, I mean, think about this. They're doing all this. They're the only team in the NFL who's had to endure something like this, and they're doing it while they're trying to make a playoff push. They're 5-6, but they still are in the hunt to make the playoffs, and they feel like they are a playoff team. And if they're going to get there to get that goal, to get to the postseason, they're going to have to do it while overcoming some pretty stiff outside, I don't know if you want to call it distraction, just overcoming some hurdles. Being out here away from their families, any time that you're away from your family for an extended period of time, it's a struggle for many. But think about it. They're doing it in the month of December when most families kind of come together. They're away from their families now. The holidays are coming up. They had hoped to be able to, once Santa Clara County, back in Northern California, once they put this COVID restriction on where there were no more contact sports allowed to be played in Northern California, they were hoping the 49ers were, as an organization, that maybe they could find some place nearby in another county where they could practice and play games and then kind of go back and forth. But it kind of turned out that everywhere was more than like a two-hour or three-hour drive, and it just didn't make any sense to have to drive and then come back. And then when they would come back home to Santa Clara County, you're technically supposed to quarantine for 14 days once you leave. So that just wasn't going to work. So they realized that they ultimately were going to have to pick up and move to someplace else where they could play their home games and then just kind of hang out there for the next several weeks. They have two home games in the next 3 weeks. This home game will be here tonight against the Bills. And then next weekend, the Washington football team comes in, and the 49ers are the home team for that. Then they go on the road. They play Dallas and Arlington. But then the day after Christmas on the 26th, they played the Arizona Cardinals right back here in Glendale. So it would make no sense for them to, after they leave Dallas, to then go back to the San Francisco Bay Area, only to come back in 3 days, come back here to Glendale. So the plan is to kind of work out something where they can get players' families here to the Glendale area for the holidays. They're not sure how they're going to do it. It's still a work in progress, but that's what they're hoping to do. So the players will at least be able to see their families over the holidays. But for the next 3 weeks, until at least till after Christmas, they plan to be here in Arizona.
Whew, in it for what feels like a long haul. Every week feels like a month in 2020, Lisa. So hopefully this team is able to, like you said, manage this situation, an incredibly adverse one, as best they can. Looking forward to the game tonight. Still, nonetheless, Lisa, thank you for the time and the insight. As always, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Lisa.
All right, guys. Take care.
ESPN NFL reporter Lisa Salters with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with our Monday Night Football preview, brought to you by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Man, she just said it right there. Stuck in their hotel rooms, not able to go anywhere, not able to even see each other in that process, Janae. It brings me back to Kyle Shanahan talking so much about players helping other players manage their mental health and how important that's going to be for them down the stretch.
And that's been the biggest thing for all athletes over the course of the last few months. It's that you lean on each other and you lean on being able to play the game that you love in these moments. And I think it's even harder to hear about the things with the holidays, because you come to a scenario and this is the sacrifice that you make, you know, even though I know a lot of people are out there dealing with much bigger things. But when it comes to sports here, just to be able to find a solution, I'm actually super impressed with. Just because, like, you know, Stanford, I was watching my Stanford football team. We're trying to find solutions on the fly as well. And so this is not just one isolated incident in the NFL. This is something that is evolving constantly as all these sports really take off.
Creative solutions to problems we will hopefully never have to deal with again.
Please. Right now. Please.
As of right now, in the first leg of the Monday night doubleheader, Washington football team and Pittsburgh are tied at 0-0. So we'll keep you updated on that as it goes along right now. But coming up next, speaking of a lack of offense, if letting Russ Cook didn't work, what are we supposed to let him do now? We'll get to that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, and we will do it after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter that's tailored to your lifestyle, with options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So, whether you're out enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far that extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now, with IRS Section 179, businesses could be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See your dealer for details about cost and terms. Some equipment described is optional. $5,439 tax savings is based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. What's wrong with the Seahawks offense? Next, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Still 0-0 in the Washington football team, Pittsburgh Steelers game, the first half of the Monday night doubleheader here, and offense tough to come by in this one, which makes sense when you look at the pass rushers on either side of the equation here.
True.
It's Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and I mean this delicately, but I am forced by radio law to make this transition. Speaking of a stunning lack of offense, we now head to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, where we're joined by our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, noted Seahawks fan. Mina, general wellness check after this weekend. How you doing, bud?
You know, I was doing great until 10 seconds ago, I think, I guess. About 10 seconds ago, when you just really drove the knife back into the wound, which had begun to heal. But I'm a professional, and I'm ready to unpack this Giants upset, if that is what you desire.
Well, that is what we desire, Mina, and it was just, it's stunning, Mina, because so much of the hallmark of this first year was about let Russ cook and this movement taking off and unlocking the Seahawks offense. So I'm curious, you pay attention to this closer than any. You spend every day on NFL Live dissecting things like this. So in your mind, what's been the undoing at this point of the Seahawks offense?
You know, if we're going to put together a blame pie, there's a few slices for everyone. The pass protection has struggled a bit more. You know, they were down to their backup right tackle, and it showed. I would say the wide receivers had some uncharacteristic drops yesterday, as well as Chris Carson. I thought offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer didn't call his best game. You didn't really see the kind of adjustments against the Giants, who are, you know, doing a pretty simple too high shell for much of the game. But the biggest slice goes to Russell Wilson. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks of the last decade. He's amazing. I thank God every day he was dropped into the lap of the Seattle Seahawks. He has not played good football over the last 4 months, and I'm sure he'd be the first to admit that. Just bailing on clean pockets at times, holding on to the football too long, looking downfield, trying to find that deep pass DK Metcalf when it's just not there. So it's really incumbent upon him to turn this ship around, because unfortunately, or not, it is fortune, but I guess it's ironic, this defense has actually been improving in Seattle. It's been the offense that's let the team down.
Yes. Yes, you're right, Mina. Tough loss for Seattle. And also, and this isn't probably the biggest understatement, tough loss for the Jets, even though they got used to me saying this probably. And everybody else here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst and one of the co-hosts on NFL Live. And make sure you check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, the hidden gem there. But, you know, Mina, it's funny, here on Shanae and Gold Jr., speaking, you know, of these tough losses, when we talk about the Jets, that's like, no one flinches when you say that. But the way that they lost to the Raiders obviously garnered huge news, and it also garnered someone losing their job, defensive coordinator Greg Williams, after last night's last-second loss. So what do you make of this entire situation and how the Jets handled that loss, the aftermath? And more importantly, Mina, is this, like, actually gas on the fire for the conspiracy theorists? Or, as we have said on Shanae and Golic Jr., this is more coincidence?
Well, I think it's the immediate firing of Greg Williams is evidence that the conspiracy theories about him, a coach, deliberately calling a bad play, just trying to tank his own defense, are obviously foolish, because he lost his job, so it's not quite clear what his motivation would be there. Look, the only thing really surprising about the firing is the timing. We all figured the Jets were going to clean house going into next season, but didn't figure it would happen, especially so close to the end of the season. So I think, I imagine, and I'm not in their heads, that Jets ownership just felt like, whoa, that final coverage last night, you know, sending that full out blitz is just inexcusable, to the point where they had to show some accountability to the players inside the organization. Because, you know, these players, they don't want to be part of an 0-16 team. They don't want to be a part of that history. And Greg Williams put them in a bad position. And I think that was sort of the immediate cause of this. But, you know, it would have been inevitable anyways.
Mina, I think accountability is an interesting place to stick on that, because we heard Marcus May after that game, Jets safety, saying very publicly that we needed to be in a better call in that situation. And so much of the NFL in this last week has kind of centered around that word. It found its way into Philadelphia. Carson Wentz standing up in a meeting in front of the team, holding himself accountable to those players, and then getting benched this weekend. What do they do going forward the rest of this season? Let's stick with just that, with Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz, where they sit currently in Philadelphia.
Well, it's a really tricky situation in Philly, because it's not just about winning now. It's about what you do long-term when you have a quarterback in Carson Wentz, who you are financially tied to for a couple of years. It would be very hard for them to move on from that contract. To me, based on what we saw yesterday out of Jalen Hurts and just some limited drives, this offense is better with him, in large part because it's so decimated by injuries. The offensive line in particular, Carson Wentz is just getting killed back there. Jalen Hurts, at least, you know, his mobility added an element to the rushing attack, which was also sparked by his presence there. So I think you ride with Jalen Hurts not only because it's your best shot to win games now, but because it doesn't benefit Carson Wentz at this moment to be in this offense, right? Like, if you want to fix him, it's not happening this year. It's going to happen in the offseason. Perhaps you're going to have a quarterback competition. You're going to try to fix the scheme and you know, get that offensive line healthy. So I actually think it's better for all parties involved if they just go to Jalen for now.
I think that's exactly right. Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. NFL Live, ESPN analyst, co-host of the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny podcast, wherever you get your podcast. One of the other interesting ones from this weekend, Mina, was the Titans-Browns game. The Titans overwhelmed by the Browns in the first half of that game. Where are you assigning most credit for the Browns? I know a lot of people oscillated between the protection, what Baker Mayfield was able to do, Kevin Stefanski. When you look at the pie in this situation, where are you allocating most slices?
Well, I think all of those factors deserve equal parts credit, but I'll throw in one more slice, which is the Titans' terrible pass rush. Baker Mayfield was just untouched, unbothered, unpressured in that first half, and we saw that when those things happen, he's an exceptionally accurate quarterback. Like, just because you're unpressured doesn't mean you can make high-caliber NFL reads and throws. He can do that. But after this week, he faces a bigger test. They're going to play the Ravens, and let me tell you, that Ravens pass rush, well, they're not going to have just one pressure in the first half. That's a bold prediction, but I am willing to make it. So I think we're going to learn a lot about Baker Mayfield. We learned something about him on Sunday. He played a phenomenal game, but we're going to learn a lot more about him in the coming weeks.
Mina Kimes, willing to go there. That is why you sign up, download, rate, and review the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. That's why you tune in to NFL Live. Mina, we appreciate the time as always, friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mina.
Bye, guys.
ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes, join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4 wear testing using SAE 5W30. And coming up next, let's stick with that. Baker Mayfield did play well this weekend. How confident should this make Browns fans about their future with him? That's next. It's Jhené Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
You want to talk offense, you have come to the wrong place. Jhené Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuemeke. I was trying to time that up. I'm sorry. I've got Murphy Lee playing in my head right now, and I started singing the verse in my head.
I kind of like calling you June. Like, hey, Junie. Like June.
That's
kind of cute.
We've already got a June around here in June Lee, who's our great ESPN writer and reporter, so I feel like I'd be biting his name swag there, and I don't want to do that.
No, but, like, it's, like, a different type of June. Like, that's his actual name. This is, like, an endearment name. So, yeah, June, it's better than pudding.
They're all better than pudding. That's why I need to get far. You know what? All of those nicknames are better than whatever the hell the Steelers and Washington football team just called the first quarter. Allow me to read the drive summary so far. 5 plays, 36 yards, punt. 7 plays, 34 yards, punt. 3 plays, minus 5 yards, punt. 4 plays, 21 yards, punt. 3 plays, 9 yards, punt.
Okay.
I could go on.
We just had Swagoo, Judge Swagoo, right? And in their defense, the Steelers have had the hard turnarounds. They've been pressed pause on their season a couple times, and they're playing abnormal schedules. They're still finding ways to win, and the Washington football team is still the Washington football team. So it's not going to be easy this year, and I just feel bad for the Steelers, especially, who have had their situation messed around twice.
The Washington football team is the Washington football team is about the nicest thing that you can say about the Washington football team.
I try. Right
now. Although, listen, we can say a lot of nice things about both of these defenses, and I think that's interesting context to have this conversation through, because we've spent so much time talking about the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield. Are they finally putting it together? This was looking like a big opportunity against the Titans team that everyone respected after their playoff run last year, after what Mike Vrabel has built there. Someone was willing to go a little bit farther than that. Rex Ryan, our ESPN NFL analyst, who you hear all over this network, actually went on Get Up this morning and made an even bolder claim about the Cleveland Browns. Here it was.
To be 9-3 and to be on your way to making the playoffs is in and of itself an accomplishment. But as you watch them, I know you think this is a team that can do more than that this January.
Yeah, absolutely. And it never took this game right here to tell me that. I said it the previous week that if they get average play from the quarterback position, this team can go deep in a playoffs. Well, if they get this Baker Mayfield, shoot, they can win it all. Mm.
Jhené, I know you and I both heard that in the last break and were a bit shocked at that claim.
Well, we just had Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL Live analyst, and she broke it down, basically saying like the pass rush was not really existent for Baker, especially in the first half, which is why he was super comfortable in the pocket. So I don't think that's the case for every team that they're going to be facing moving forward, especially in the postseason and the playoffs. So when I heard that, I was just like, hold up, like celebrate it. It's funny because I was looking, the Browns scored 5 first half touchdowns led by Baker's 290 yards and four TDs. That's huge. And they're doing something for the first time since 1951. That type of first half for the Browns in a uniform, you have to celebrate that. But I don't mean that. I don't think that means celebrate them winning a Super Bowl. They still have a lot to prove.
Well, I know. And you're right. He mentioned average play by the quarterback. Baker Mayfield, as we start to go along in his career and try and build out the profile of who Baker is, we saw the highs of the back half of his rookie year. We saw the lows of all last year. And we've realized that the real Baker may be somewhere in the middle, that he, like a lot of other quarterbacks, like most quarterbacks in the NFL, are dependent on the circumstances around him. This team has gone five games without turning the football over, which he's a part of, but they've also gotten great protection. Kevin Stefanski's done a better job play calling. Myles Garrett is back on your defense. All of these things go together. And so, Janae, I just look at this and say, yes, Mina Kimes brought it up, but you look at no further than the Monday Night Football game tonight to understand what could be the problem for them, who they have to go through in the AFC. Because you look, this game against the Steelers and the Washington football team right now, both of these teams, Steelers, number one in sack rate this year in the NFL at 9.8%, top five in pass rush win rate on the season, our metric that shows how quickly, how often defensive linemen beat their blocks under 2.5 seconds in the NFL. So I look at this and say, yeah, Tennessee is deficient in this area. They just had to put, I believe, Jadeveon Clowney on IR for the rest of the year. They have struggled generating that pass rush in a way that the top-end AFC teams are not going to in that spot. And so I think if you're disrupting Baker Mayfield, we still haven't seen enough, Chinee, to say that he's just gotten better all of a sudden. No, it's, yeah, when you can keep pressure off of him and get him in great play-action situations, he can be a hell of a quarterback, like Jared Goff, like Kirk Cousins, and a lot of the other middle-of-the-road NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, and look no further than your own division, as you said, you know, especially in the North. But I just think it's funny because I feel like there's always a slight when you say a quarterback is better than average or average. Like we grade that, and that's serviceable, especially now in the NFL, if you have strengths on other sides or in different areas. And so I think just to say like, oh, this is what Baker needs to do every single game for them to be successful. Sure, they'd love that. But like, he doesn't need to be that. He just needs to be better than average. And I think a lot of times people are uncomfortable with putting their quarterbacks in that type of territory.
Well, they're uncomfortable when it's your top overall pick, Chinee. You know this. There's a burden that comes with that, and there's an expectation that skews it. We're watching an undue Carson Wentz in Philadelphia right now. We watched it on the other side. Put it like this. What a great way to look at this than through the lens of Dak Prescott, where if Dak Prescott were a number one overall pick and performed the way he had performed, we know he'd be signed to a nice, long, new second contract, and we wouldn't have had any of the uncomfortable things happen that we did this offseason with him. But how you come into the league matters so much in the way that you're perceived. And for Baker Mayfield to be a Heisman Trophy winner and a top overall pick for this team, the expectation is not that you come in and you're able to ride this team through, all right, you know what, if our quarterback just doesn't mess things up and we have Jarvis Landry starting to really ascend now that he's the true number one in this offense and this offensive line coming together, he can start to do great things and all this. That, you know, that's not the expectation that comes with the number one pick.
No, absolutely. But I also know that it helps in my instance being 6'3", athletic with an older sister that taught me the way, right? So, like, things are a little bit easier on my end than it is to be a quarterback that's smaller, even though you have a strong arm. And so I think it also compounds itself because we were sort of talking the same thing with Tua, right? Like, when you have a lot of rookies, when you have the Joe Burrows and the Justin Herberts out there, it sort of puts more pressure. And when you're looking at a smaller quarterback and you have Kyler dancing around, even though they've sort of, you know, fallen a little bit back the last few weeks, and you've got Russ who's even like taking an L, but still you see a lot of magic there. The expectations, it's harder when I guess the odds are a little bit more stacked against you than people even perceive to be.
Well, Janae, like you just mentioned there, when a team drafted Chinee Igwumike, you checked all the boxes, right? Size, accomplishment, all these things. A GM didn't have to worry about explaining to their team why they went out and did this. When you fall outside of the paradigm of measurables, of the things the NFL's used to rewarding, you know you're kind of graded on a curve in all of this. You know, exactly. There's a little more pressure on you when you go and draft Baker Mayfield with it. Because remember, that draft, Baker Mayfield was not assumed to be the top pick until days before that draft. When those reports started coming out, we were all pretty shocked by that situation. And so it's created a spot. Now, we are right. Just saying the things that we've said, that Baker Mayfield, when the rest of the team around him is in a comfortable place, can be enough for them, but he's not going to be the over-the-top reason. It does. It feels like we're picking on him.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that bad? Especially us being bigger people, too. It just is like, that's why I try to keep...
See, I didn't want to make this a side. Like, we're not tall shaming Baker as a show right now. Just
no, we're not.
Like,
not at all. And that's why I want to make abundantly clear.
We want to make abundantly clear that
we understand the challenges that it presents.
Well, we don't actually, but we can imagine what it would be like if we were in that position, and we don't want to make anyone feel bad because of that right now.
Too late.
All right, too late. That appears to already have happened, and now we have a lot of very upset people on this show with us. Coming up next, though, we'll see how upset we can get Cliff as we talk about what the Eagles' future looks like in Philadelphia. Should Jalen Hurts be the man going forward? Next.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.